You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. We are here, almost all the crew. Missing purse, but that's all right. Man, Jay Moore is in the building with his stars and stripes on today. I see you. Was that planned out? Or
I mean, I kind of planned it out, you know. Okay. I mean, shout, you know, this is, you know, it's the New Jersey Nets, but, you know, when I think of the Nets, I think of the team that my first favorite basketball player, Dr. J, played for.
Shout out to Dr. J.
So,
you know what's crazy about Dr. J? Dr. J still has the ultimate swag. When Dr. J comes in a room, you see Iverson, LeBron, all these guys are just like, they're in awe of Dr. J, and he in his 70s. Like, he still got the swag that Dr. J had back in the 70s. Like, he's still that dude every time he come in a room. You just see it on all the videos.
No, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Because he's who, I mean, everyone says, oh, they wanted to be like Mike, but Mike wanted to be like the doctor.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, please, you know, do your research and see how he was the icon
100%.
Of the NBA, you know, when it was really about to come into its prime.
Facts. Shout out to Dr. J, man. My man Longevity's in the building. How are you, sir?
Doing all right, man. Thanks for asking.
We go through this every week, man. You just can't do it without this being somewhat awkward. Or is it just me? Is it me?
You know, I don't feel awkward. So, I mean,
okay.
What makes it so awkward for you?
Well, you know, if I greet you and I'm like, hey, Lone, how are you? You're like, hey, man, I'm doing great. It's like, it's almost happy, but it's not quite happy enough for me. That's all.
Yeah, I think it's just probably because I'm not happy.
All right. Well, at least we know.
That's probably not happy. That sounds horrible.
That really. I was like, do we need to just cancel the show today?
Yeah, like, I'm not happy.
No, this is my regular state. This is, it's related to my personality type. Okay. And my attention deficit and my dopamine responses and all that stuff. It's all that
combination
stuff.
Of all
it's
that.
All related.
It's one of those things to where, like, I am, which you guys all know, I am not impressed by anything
at all.
So for me to be really impressed, either I have to be impressed or I have to be performative.
Yep.
And I'm never performative. So those are the choices.
Hey, man, well, now you understand longevity and everything that comes along with him.
That's why it's so funny when people say something in the comments like, oh, you guys are just saying stuff for clicks. I'm like, man, I really don't care if you comment.
This is the wrong place for that. Because when we say stuff, man, it's pretty much how we feel.
What it is. Yeah. I saw somebody say a while ago, I forget who it was. Maybe it was Charlemagne. It was like, you can either be for like the culture or you can be a part of the industry.
Yeah, I brought it up on the show to where, like, that's
you
what
did.
He,
yeah, Jay Moore did.
He
did.
Learned that from all of all people for whatever she's going through right now, Wendy Williams.
That's right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. You can either be of, you know, of the people or of the industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I'm of the industry, I'm not going to ask the questions.
Right.
I'm not going to make the statements that the people actually are interested in. I'm going to try to appease people who are trying to keep their release date.
Yeah, right.
But Charlemagne talked about this one time where he said, and it was a really funny statement. I remember when he said it. He said, like, it was, I can't remember which did he, Last Train to Paris or whatever.
Yeah.
He said, it's shake weight music. You know, and then he said, you know, he, you know, did he got to him and said, look, Playboy, you can have your opinion, but you can't be doing this to me on my first week.
Listen, man, listen, Charlotte, I'm not the biggest Charlemagne fan, but I always have admired and appreciated his candor. Like, fam will ask the questions that 99% of the people I will give him that.
I can appreciate that. And I think without even trying to mirror what Charlemagne does, that's always been my approach on addressing stuff specifically on this show is like, I don't want to talk down to anybody.
No.
But I also don't want to change my opinions and or my thoughts simply because I'm worried about like what they might think if I truly believe it.
Right.
In the sense of like, you know, and there's a weird line that balances that of like not, you know, pissing somebody off, you know, and potentially, you know, hurting the show versus like, well, this is really what I feel and I have something to kind of back it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm not, it's one thing to just spout opinions and be like, oh, this guy sucks as a person. Like nothing that I ever say, and I don't think any of us ever say is ever personal.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not.
No.
So
no. I mean, but opinion gets, sometimes opinion gets clouded. Everything is, I think sometimes we lose sight of how subjective what we're in is. Like it's very subjective. Like hip hop is super subjective. Sports, I think, in my opinion, are very subjective. Everybody has an opinion. Mm-hmm. We talk about the GOAT conversation in sports. That's subjective, man. Like you can do 12 paragraphs about it, but at the end of the day, that's that man's opinion.
Right.
You know, now if you have facts to back up your opinion, you present them and then we deal with the results based off the conversation. But a lot of this stuff that we talk about is subjective. So it's just opinions that we put out. That's it. Yeah. And if you stand on your opinion and you believe in it, you know, that's it.
Look, I mean, just like we've come in here and torn people's albums apart.
Facts.
But then when they come with the, look, remember we told people how terrible, like what was it? Lost Tapes 2 was.
Yes.
But we have been more than fair and heaping praise on
the King's Disease series.
King's Disease series, yeah. And Magic.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
We still, and we will go back and talk about how much we like Life is Good, other than Summer on Smash.
Yeah. It's never personal.
Not personal. We don't know personal. These people. But I think there's a thing where hip hop is a little bit more personal. Like say I just wanted to be a jerk and I ran into Tito Jackson and I said, you know what? The Love You Save was a terrible record. I hated that record. He'd be like, dude, I didn't write that. I didn't arrange that. I didn't produce that. Those aren't even my words.
Right.
If I run into Nas and say, you know, Life as a Dice Game is terrible or Memory Lane is terrible, he drew from his experiences as a person to create this art. And it's almost like if I say his art is terrible, I'm talking down on his life experiences.
And you might get in the response, there's a chance that that response is going to be different from Tito's because of what he put into it, right? Like it's going to, there's a chance that Nas is going to be like, what? Do you know what I went through to write that record?
Yeah, and, you know what I, you know.
You know what I mean?
For me to have Memory Lane or New York State of Mind, do you know where I had to be
exactly.
And the things I had to go through to even draw that out and put it onto a piece of paper and then through into a microphone and out as a CD?
And you know what's crazy about hip hop also is the fact that there's a section of hip hop that is exactly what you described as it relates to Nas and his thought process, his history, where he comes from, the Queensbridge, the stories. But there's also a section of hip hop where they'll just sit down and just pull stuff out the air and make you think that it's what Nas said he went through. Like, there's such a gray area with people out here. There's so many people that are just faking it to make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In terms of, from a creative standpoint.
Definitely.
They're just pulling from movies, you know what I mean?
That's the majority of
like, there's a huge section of that.
Yeah, and that probably would go into the frustration around it if you really are a said person as opposed to everything else. So don't lump me in with all those other people.
Yeah, it's like the dudes that are, you hear the street rappers where they like, man, we actually from that. It burns them up when they hear people rapping about stuff that they've actually not quote unquote done. So that's a conversation where they get mad, where they're like, man, you ain't even really living like that. You're just making money off of it in the rap game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You was in church with your moms. You was a sucker as a kid.
Parents had real good parents.
It's funny whenever I hear, like, I always think those lines are particularly funny when I hear OC's Time's Up, where he was like, you was a sucker as a kid. You was in the church with your moms.
He was destroying whoever that was, trying to take your whole credibility away. It's the Clarence has good parents. Well, he said really. And Clarence has good parents. Yeah.
The parents has a good marriage.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Like, even when, I mean,
we like Eminem, man. Y'all cut that out. We like Eminem.
Look, no, I don't really like Eminem.
Stop that, man.
Even as much as we love the Notorious B.I.G.
Yes.
Let's just keep it real. Like, when it, you know, he's talking about one room shack. I was like, and his mom was like, one room shack? Your own room, fam. I went to work so you could have every video game system that was out.
You chose to get out there and be in them streets, brother.
You know, I mean.
Hey, Miss Wallace. Hey, to Miss Wallace's credit, she said she was on the grind and make sure he got what he needed.
And you know what?
So like, we respect that.
I think they said that.
Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis.
There
stop
you go.
That long. Don't do that.
Look, it's just to kind of.
We're podding. Yeah,
we are podding. That's a pod. That's a pod.
I remember at one point, like, you know, just to kind of deviate a little bit when we were talking about.
Yeah.
When I had When I had an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3 in my house, I was like, I have made it as I am.
Man, you felt good, didn't you?
Felt good to see both, like, people have those arguments. Which one do you like, PlayStation or Xbox? Man. I'd be like, I got both of them.
Let me throw some games in and see.
Yeah, I did the George Jefferson walk on them. I got both.
I'd have been your friend that would have been like, is Jared home? He said I could come over and play.
I'm here to play golf.
Yeah. He said I could come over and try both of the systems out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know,
can I come in?
But you know what's crazy is, like, and this is like the place where big off of St. James and Fulton Street.
Yeah.
You know, these famous streets that have been, you know, name dropped by many a rapper from Brooklyn.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think they said, like, the house where Biggie grew up is going for something like $800,000.
But you know, it's different now, though. It's different now, though.
You know, it's a...
When they were there, come on now, you know, gentrification and, you know how that go. Come on now. It wasn't like that back then, bro.
No, I'm sure it's changed.
It's like all these
spots where it was super grimy in the 90s and people stand out there with the, you know, baggy jeans and their hockey jerseys and skull caps.
What you saying? They walking poodles through there now?
Please, it's dog bakeries, all sort of stuff in there. I like to dispel anybody who's still running with that argument. You know, Nas can't pick beats, this, that, and the third. I was like, you just like making lazy hip hop arguments.
No, look, for a very long time, he could not pick good beats.
No, there was a time.
Now he can.
You know.
He got with a producer that actually makes the selections for him.
Look, the only bad beat he picked on Life is Good. Swizz Beatz, I mean, I think you're a good enough person. I enjoy your interviews.
You're a good enough person.
But I'm sorry. Like, I really wish you did not touch.
Listen, man.
That's almost a perfect album without Summer on Smash.
Long, we got beef. Here's why we have beef.
Okay. And think about how long Life is Good.
100%,
so,
I agree.
Think about, so we're talking about 10, 12 years where, like, Nas hasn't, I mean, and I don't count that foolishness he did with Kanye because nobody's really tapped
that EP was trash outside of Cop Shot the Kid and then the one with, I don't know.
If you talk about his studio albums in the last decade, Nas, you know, he got Magic, King's Disease 1, 2, and 3.
He had a pocket, though. He had a pocket where, for like a significant period of time, the beats were not good. His Nostradamus period, the beats were not good. Some of the beats on I Am, and it's my favorite Nas album, they're not good. Dr. Knockboot is not a good beat.
How does he have?
That's hard one for me because I love one, Dr. Knockboot.
One mic is not a good beat to me.
How does he have?
I never liked that record.
Multiple. I'm talking about classic albums with bad beats. You have to make this make sense.
How does Eminem have the same thing?
Eminem does not have classics like Nas. Come on now.
Depends on who you talk to.
Oh, here you go. See, here you go. Now you're going to get them
but
started.
But you know, this is the thing, because Nas was the
now
first.
You're going to get them started.
Nas was the first dude where we knew, okay, we're going to get the top of the top.
Yeah.
It was their very best for his debut album.
His first two albums were great.
Yeah.
His first three.
And the thing is, people, that's how good Illmatic is. It's not even 40 minutes long.
Bro, but I've heard this, but this has been presented to me a lot, multiple times by credible people. People tell me that Illmatic is overrated and that It Was Written is a better album.
I know people who feel that way, now, but it's not true.
Here's the thing about It Was Written. The production on it, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm getting backtracking. Not his first album. The production,
Illmatic,
like you said, with the producer, Illmatic, with the producers, to me, that's what makes it, the his age, the production, and what he was talking about on the album is what makes that album phenomenal to me.
Not a wasted moment on the entire record.
Nas is like what?
He was 19 when the album came out, so that means he was writing some of the stuff when he was 16, 17, 18.
But those that are on the side of It Was Written, I'm not mad because I know how cold that album is. If you say that, I'm not going to argue with you too much. I just don't like the comment that Illmatic is overrated. I can't vouch for that. Can't vouch for that. I disagree
again,
with that.
It's all subjective.
I mean, I did say that earlier, didn't I?
I mean, it is, you know, this is like my Nas comment, like, sure, about his beats. Yeah, there was a very significant time where I was very disappointed in his beat selection for many years. Consecutively,
I mean, Nostradamus was a bad album,
but that doesn't go against the fact that his first two and a half albums had almost flawless beats on them.
Okay,
and right. You know, and everything that he's done since, in the last 5-6 years or, you know, still have been still really good.
Still mad at
But he dope. Did have a pocket in there where, it's where, some, where the beats he was selecting was like Eminem style beats. And I just don't know what was going on
Dr.
there.
Dr. Knock Boot is really bad.
I love that record.
Oh, no, man. You didn't like the beat for one mic?
I do. It sounds too. You know what? No, I don't personally like it. I never, okay. I've never liked it.
I respect
it, but I'm one of those. It sounds like an Eminem beat to me, and I don't.
One mic?
Yeah,
it's yeah. Just, you're right. It does sound like something Eminem.
It's like
do.
Something's about to happen, and it's just like I don't know. I just Nas was great on it. Don't get me wrong, but the beat.
But from a producer standpoint, I know you know what you're talking about. Wouldn't Eminem's production be even darker than that? But, key selection, like just. Wouldn't Eminem's production be even darker than one mic?
Maybe. That plotting. But for a Nas.
Yeah.
But for a Nas record, it, I don't know, it had Ether vibes, you know, like Jay-Z on an Eminem beat or not Ether vibes. Yeah, actually Renegade. It did have, I'm talking about Renegade, but yeah, it did kind of have Ether vibes too. But, yeah. But I don't know, it just, I don't personally like that style of production in hip hop. Like, and we were talking about it in the pre-show. It's just like the lack of the funk element. And that's kind of like what that was to me. I think it fit for the song. Do not get me wrong. I think that was maybe the perfect beat for that song, but I still don't like the beat.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I was one of those people that liked, I remember Stillmatic, they gave it 5 mics in the Source. I feel like, well, they didn't want to play favorites because they just given Jay 5 for Blueprint.
You think that's where that comes from?
I'm sorry, but
Stillmatic was not that good.
Still, I like Godson better than Stillmatic. You know, you had stuff like Rule with A. Marie and Braveheart Party, and there was some stuff on there like
Jungle.
Got Yourself a Gun. I was one of those people that never really cared for that record.
I was as well. This is the era.
But you know, but one of my favorite Nas songs is on that album, but just one of them is a song called Second Childhood, the DJ Premier.
Yes.
That is an incredible
That's a
record.
Dope record.
But I don't think anything else on that album is as good as Second Childhood.
Just like on the I Am album, Dr. Knock Boot is on that, but the record right after that is Nas is like.
In fact, you know, so, in fact, Dr. Knock Boot is the B-side of Nas is Like.
So.
Shout out to the chat, man. They
I almost dropped $7 on a CD single because they kept pushing the I Am record back.
Gobernator, we see you. Mighty J Young, Adrian Taylor, that's my guy.
We early today.
Appreciate you. All right, man. Perhaps we can go ahead and try to jump into some of the stuff that we have for today. Let's see. So I think Billboard got it right. They got it right. I think they
you
got
think
it right.
So?
I'm biased because my selection would be what their top selection was, but... You know, I'm openly biased, but okay. I also think I'm right. And they had a list of the 50 greatest rap groups of all time. Now, I'm not going to go. We don't have to go through the whole thing, but
let's around give that, us a top 10. Let's see
around
what's going
that top
on.
10 or 11 is what I've been seeing people have some. Let's just say some slight conversations and perhaps some issues. So it gets good around. Well, I like starting around 15 because 15 is Naughty by Nature.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that.
No.
It depends what everything else is.
It would stay low depending on how I get, how, where we going.
Yeah.
I'll fool with Naughty by Nature.
Right now it's just a number, so.
Fuji's 14.
No, too high.
Too high?
Too high.
Two albums?
They have two?
Two albums. One that was good.
Classic.
I mean, it's a, you know, but you know, a large part of why even people bought that album was for an R&B remake.
But it was done well,
It was
though.
Done well, but you know, when I think about hip-hop groups, when you are one for two...
I mean, but your singer is your best rapper also.
That's fine.
That was dope.
You know, I'll immediately put Naughty by Nature over the Fugees.
I mean, if Black Star's not even on the list and they have two albums and the Fugees have
two albums,
one's not good.
Look, so if we were just talking about people from Jersey, I put Naughty by Nature over the Fugees.
So you being disrespectful.
No,
now.
I'm not.
Being disrespectful now. See, you probably put Fetty Wap over the Fugees, don't you?
I'm not going as far as to say all that, but
he's not a group. Are you trying to group his eyes?
Yeah,
see,
I was trying to, yeah,
I was being petty.
You're trying to jam me up. Yeah. 13.
Mobb Deep. No issues there. Be careful, Jay Moore. I see your eyes. Come on,
no,
man.
No, Mobb Deep is a legendary group.
All right. Okay. Get to it. All right. Mobb Deep.
I put Mobb in, and I, like I said, I got love for Naughty. I think Tretch is super underrated as a
now
lyricist.
That I agree with.
But yeah, I put Mobb Deep over Naughty.
Vinny, I don't think Vinny, I think people play Vinny as the Fonte pool thing. I think Vinny gets played, but I also, I 100% agree with you. Tretch is severely underrated.
And plus,
MC.
When you think, you know, and I got love for Vin Rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen him do his thing. He gets busy.
No, but dude can rap, though. Yeah,
but it's just like when you, you know, the very first, you know, OPP, he wasn't even on it.
True. And the song went off.
You know.
Yeah, the song went off.
Everything's going to be all right. You know, the first two singles by them, he wasn't even on.
Uptown Anthem is one of my favorite joints.
Yeah, yeah. So.
You know what I'm saying? Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Long. What you think?
I don't think so.
12.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody, we just feel like we have to put that group on there.
It's just like, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, you get points for nostalgia and for being a pioneer, but I don't know. I guess.
No, I'm sorry.
Probably not, but, you know, we could see what else is on there, I guess.
All right. Well, leave it there for now.
I don't think it belongs above, like, Mobb Deep.
Okay. No, sorry, it doesn't.
So. All right. Let's see as we continue on. Migos, number 11.
I mean...
I saw this one was one that
that's
was being discussed.
Heated.
Yeah, this was being discussed.
I cannot put Migos above Mobb Deep and Naughty by Nature. I'm sorry.
Here's my thing, right?
They had a good run.
The Migos, I look at the Migos as a group that cannot be excluded when you talk about the grand scheme. If somebody's, you know, this is cliche, but we're going to write a book and a story about hip-hop. You gotta tell their chapter.
Just like Soulja Boy has a chapter.
Don't do that. No, it's not the same.
I'm not comparing them, but Soulja Boy also has a chapter, regardless of if we like his music
or
not. Right?
I see where you're going. But the Migos, they got a lot of kids running around. When I say kids, I mean...
Yeah, we know.
You know.
But at the same
time,
they
got a lot of kids running around Atlanta.
Yeah, I think about, one of the reasons they stand out as a group because they're in an era where there are no groups. You got to understand, when you talk about Naughty by Nature, Eric B. and Rakim, you know, back to Grand. At one point, hip-hop was nothing but groups. Curtis Blow was a solo rapper.
Big Daddy
Kumo D. But even then, you're talking about, you know, because even Kumo D was in the Treacherous Three. You're talking about later at the end of the 90s, or 80s, rather. Like, if... In the 80s, everybody was a group.
Right. Yeah.
And so Migos came at a time when, you know, the hip hop group was passe. It just wasn't a thing. You know, people
rest
might get together.
Takeoff, by the way.
People might get together for a collaboration, a quick little one-off. You know, Future and Drake might be a group for one album.
Yeah.
You know, 21 and Drake. You know, there's that's Key Glock and Young Dolph. But
that's a good
there
point.
Are not...
That's true.
The hip hop group is essentially gone.
That's even true. If I think the Migos are too high, I'm not mad at them being in the grand scheme of this conversation.
Just in the groups,
I'm
that
not
you
mad.
Named already,
I'm not mad.
They're
at
too
that.
High. Just in the
even if
group,
it's too,
oh,
high,
too high.
Like I saw some people trying to play them like they're not supposed to be here. I don't agree with that.
How long was their run? Like 4 or 5 years.
That first album was what, Culture? That came out in...
No,
because
they had,
album?
You know, because remember they had...
Well, they were...
They had
it was
Hannah
stuff
Montana,
leading up to
you know,
that. You're right.
Bad and Bougie. That was before the Culture era.
Huge records, though. Those were huge records, man.
I'm not saying... No, because the thing is, as far as, like, the commercial hip-hop from the time and being in the clubs, I always enjoyed hearing Migos records.
And they had the coldest ad-libs, too, man. Mama.
My, one of my tags is, hey...
Yeah.
Longevity.
Yeah, like, so you know, I'm not the, like I said, I'm not the biggest Migos fan, but I'm also not oblivious to them. Like,
they belong in the conversation.
They belong, bro.
They belong in the conversation.
Yeah, you gotta have,
they do not
they're just a little high. That's all.
Yeah, they don't belong over Naughty by Nature.
They just a little high.
Or Mobb Deep.
Okay, now we're getting into the top 10. They got the Roots. I'm not mad at this. I think this is pretty self explanatory.
The Roots of what?
10.
As a band?
We're gonna talk about them as a band or a group. See, like, the thing,
I'm not mad at them being called a group, though. It's like they're a hybrid, right?
When you include like Dice, Raw, and Malik.
Malik B.
Yeah, Malik B.
Yeah, I can see that. And they are, I mean, they are a bunch are of, a I mean, Quest, James Poyser, and...
It's like a hybrid, bro. Like it's band slash, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. I mean, I'm not mad at it, you know.
All right, so we cool with the Roots. Mm-hmm. All right, so we left off at De La Soul at number 9. Rest in peace, True Good.
De La Soul at number 9. It depends on what the top 8 are, but they should definitely be up there.
All right. Well, when we keep going?
Yeah.
All right, so we have salt and pepper at number 8.
Doesn't deserve to be there.
No, I don't think so.
Too high?
It seems like they're just invoking some women in there just to...
How is salt and pepper going to be above the Roots and De La Soul?
That doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm sorry. They had a commercial impact, but...
Top 50 is due, correct?
For sure.
Okay,
all right. Herbie Lovebug wrote all the lyrics, and, you know, once that relationship was severed, it was
Now, we just talked about the Migos.
And they got hits, and I you know... No,
they had a wave, though.
Don't get me wrong. I love
they had a run. We just talked about runs, right? Salt Pepper definitely had a run.
Love me some salt, but no.
No, I see what you did. No, that's a little too... A little too high, I think.
Yeah.
20s.
It's where we spoke.
Once again, because...
I wish I had time to read.
Is Heavy
Read
the Boys on there? I got to ask that.
I'll have to go back.
Yeah, let's go back.
But we'll finish out and I'll make sure. But Eric B and Rakim is number 7. I mean.
I'm more happy with them being up there than Grandmaster Flash and the Furious 5.
And Salt and Pepper?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not mad at Eric B and Rakim.
But it still seems maybe a little high. It depends.
I mean, because I can make, you know, and I'm not going to do it here because we got to get through the show. But I can make a case for them being top 5, if not number 1.
All right, fair enough.
Possibly, but I don't know.
Well, we'll keep going. Public Enemy is number 6. I don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't have any problems with that.
Okay,
I don't have a problem with that. Now we in the top 5. Run DMC. I have no problem with that.
No. I'm surprised they weren't higher.
Yeah. I'm good with them being here. I don't have a problem.
I'm really surprised they're not higher. But let's see what else we got.
Tribe. Number 4.
Yeah.
I have Tribe higher than Run DMC. But they actually are. But no, I'm just saying, like, personally.
Oh, personally, okay.
Yeah, but I can
see. Oh, me too.
You know, I think that's good.
That's good. All right. Number 3. Drum roll as I scroll down. NWA.
Too high.
NWA is too high. Please explain.
NWA has 2 albums.
Okay.
Only one of them has Ice Cube on it, and he was the heart and soul of the group. The second album, like I said, we've talked about how sonically I think is Dr. Dre's best work, but thematically I think is reprehensible. And I think is problematic on a lot of different levels.
Sonically, I think you can make a case for both The Chronic and 2001, in my personal opinion.
I think those sound
like butter to me.
You could make a case for them, but like if they just released the, you know, when you released the instrumentals of the second NWA album.
Oh yeah, I know.
Like, ooh, what was the fact that Dre was doing it with,
I agree,
with beat machines that might have had 1 meg of memory.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? And no Pro Tools.
Sample time was small. I agree. Yeah. I'm with you.
But yeah, when I think about an overall piece of art, Stratocompton is a classic. The second one, there's a reason I call it the second NWA album, and I don't call the album by its name. I'm sorry. It's for me, NWA is one, and you might want to call NWA and the Posse or 100 Miles and Yell and Running, rather. No, I don't.
So how much?
I think as when you look at the NWA tree, maybe that's how you make a case for it. But as just NWA, 2 studio albums and an EP, I can't make a case for them even being a top 20 group.
So let me ask you both this.
Because we take it about Impact and Tree out of it? No.
But see, that's the thing, though. We can't. I think Impact. Okay, so Impact and Tree, I think this is cumulative is why they're so high.
Yeah, because I can see why you would make the decision.
What they were talking about, when they talked about what they were talking about,
the visuals came out of the group.
Crazy.
But, you
right?
know, when I think about A Tribe Called Quest, who should be higher than NWA.
Why?
Because
and I love
when it,
Tribe.
When it's, just
the, it's not
when
the music
you
now.
Just,
it's not the
when
music.
You just talk about the music.
Their music is better than
when
NWA.
You talk about just the, even if you leave out
the albums.
The if you just talk about the first, even if you just take the music that they did when it was all 3 of them together, those 5 albums.
Uh-huh.
Stronger body of work than NWA.
No question.
By far.
The feeling that I'm getting is, you tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I overhyping or gassing NWA's impact for the time that they came out?
No,
and
I don't
what
think,
happened moving forward.
I
in
don't
hip-hop.
Think that you
I
are.
I think that's huge.
If I just take
Salt and Pepper had a big impact too. When they
not like NWA though. Not like NWA.
When you look at the sales, the chart history,
and the fact they're women.
Not like NWA though, bro.
No, I'm looking at
what they were talking about.
Nah. That's fine. I'm looking at the music. If I take the NWA CDs, mm-hmm. I take the two studio albums and the EP.
Right.
I'm not counting NWA in a posse. Like,
okay.
And then you take the studio albums by A Tribe Called Quest, even the one that was done after Fife had, mm-hmm. even if we say we exclude that. Okay.
So you stop at the Love Movement.
Say we stop at the Love Movement.
Right.
It's a better run. It's better music. And
it is better music.
Overall, I think when you talk about songs per and.
You got me on the music.
And when you think about what they actually mean.
You got me on the music.
A Tribe Called Quest should definitely be higher than NWA. Like I said, NWA may not even be top 20. And you're talking to someone that loves NWA. Dr. Dre might be one of the biggest MC. Look, I listen to MC Ren's new music. You know what I'm saying? I'm that person.
We're going to disagree. We're going to agree to disagree on the top 20. Come on, man. Nah.
Sorry. Like I said, you're talking about.
I don't see that.
You're talking about two albums and they only really won for two.
Nah, I don't see it. I don't see it. Either way, you know.
I mean,
what's the theme, Lone? It's subjective.
No, it is. But I mean, are you really going to put Tribe below NWA?
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Yes, man, just because of what NWA still, and it's not musically. Musically, it's not.
We're only talking about music.
I'm talking about cumulative.
What's the list about?
To me, I think this list is cumulative. I don't think it's just discography. If it was, the two album people are going to suffer, right? If it's just discography.
Yeah, that's why it's totality. That's why I said the Fugees were too high.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I think with the Fugees, you got to think Lauryn Hill, we're going to do Tree. Right? Lauryn Hill, Miseducation, that falls under all of this. That's what I'm thinking they're doing.
Because if you're going to talk about impact and tree, then you got to put you got to put the Fugees ahead of NWA. Because when you look at chart history, when you talk about record sales, when you talk about, you know, what happened in the culture at the time, the Fugees were actually a bigger movement.
Let's finish it off, then.
Exactly.
Wu-Tang's number two.
Okay.
No problem with that.
All right. And then
Outkast.
Yeah, I say they're my favorite. They're the greatest group to me ever.
But to your argument, Outkast's impact on the industry isn't bigger than NWA. So should NWA be bigger?
With the Dungeon Family, it ain't.
We're not talking about the Dungeon Family. We're talking about Outkast.
Just Tree.
No, we're talking about Outkast is the group in the Dungeon Family. We're talking about Outkast. You're talking about NWA, a group in the Tree of NWA. The Tree of Outkast is Dungeon. It's not Outkast.
What? Oh, I see what you mean. I got you. I had to think about that.
If I put the Outkast studio albums on a table and the NWA studio albums on a table.
Yeah, that's a wash.
It's not close.
Which one are you going to go ahead and grab if you say I can only have one?
It's not close with Tribe. It's not close.
It's not close.
It's a wash.
If you put Naughty by Nature's albums on a table and you put the Fugees albums on a table, I'm picking up Naughty by Nature.
Man, there's no criteria listed here. They just give paragraphs about each one. So I get it.
If you put Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Fives albums on a table.
I know. I got it.
Or the other 14 that you mentioned. I'm going to grab one of the other 14.
Some of our older listeners, though, might pick that.
That's fine.
You know what I'm saying?
It's subjective.
Thank you.
Subjective. But once again, I'm saying what I'm saying.
When you see, because I know.
Because once again, I'd put Heavy D and the Boys over a bunch of these people.
Here's my thing. I understand when you guys talk about the music. Now that's where it's a no brainer. Some of the conversation, like some of the comparisons we're making, it ain't even close.
Well,
we talk about the records. Like it's not
the Tree argument is a hard argument to have because it's like, sure, Dre and Cube came up out of the NWA tree and others as well, but. Mm-hmm. Would they still have emerged without NWA? You know, like, I don't know. It's like, it's to me, that's a more subjective what if than, you know, because then you can't put Eminem under the NWA tray simply because Dr. Dre found Eminem and he was a part of it. You know, like, I don't feel like that's relevant.
Some people would do that because then they say, well, you got to put 50 in there. You got to put G-Unit in there.
You got to put Kendrick Lamar.
We're not
doing that.
We don't want to go that deep. I can dig that.
Because we can't gauge influence. You know, like, sure, that's direct influence, but Andre 3000 has a bunch of kids out here.
He got a lot of kids out here.
But none that we can quantify.
Look, I'll say something is, you know.
Because future has kids that are the Migos.
True.
And the future and is Dungeon.
Future's Dungeon.
And then maybe Dungeon is related to, like, I don't know. Yeah. Now we're going down this huge rabbit hole.
I could make a case. Look, first of all, I'll make a case that Heavy D and the Boys would knock a couple of these groups out of the top 15.
Go back up this list, man.
And you could make a case even for DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince knocking some of these people out.
Mm. I forgot about them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And you know who else I can make a case for knocking some of these people out of the top 15?
Be careful.
Ghetto Boys.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Beastie Boys was a 16, Cypress Hill 17.
Where's UGK?
3-6 Mafia 18. They got some kids out here. I know DJ Paul do.
I would have UGK.
Top 10?
G-Unit 19. UGK 20.
I wouldn't put.
Too low?
First of all, I wouldn't put G-Unit in the top.
G-Unit over UGK is stupid, in my personal opinion. That's stupid. Bone Thugs 21.
You could make a case for Bone Thugs being in the top 15.
Man, I don't know about top 15, but they should be on the list.
They should be on the list for
Locks,
sure.
The Locks 22. Sugar Hill Gang 23.
Too high.
The Diplomats 24. That might be too low. If we being honest,
I would put the Diplomats before I put the Sugar Hill Gang. I'm sorry, Sugar Hill Gang.
Hey, Dipset had a shout to Andrew Barber, man. We had this argument probably twice a year about
the
Dipset.
Okay,
right. And I always tell him their impact is undeniable. I just think the production, y'all know me, production outweighs what they talking about. But you can't say Dipset didn't have a wave. They had a wave. Sure. So they should be on here. Hot Boys 25.
Too high.
Too high?
They got a second album, the Let Them Burn, before they broke up. But, you know, like, nobody thinks about that record.
EPMD 26.
Oh, you want to talk about somebody that's too low.
There we go. Now
you're getting disrespectful not having them in the top 20.
Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince 27. Ghetto Boys 28.
Okay.
Right? I mean,
I think that's too low for the Ghetto Boys.
Yeah, I would agree.
Gangstar 29.
Too low for Gangstar. Gangstar is a top 10 group.
Clips 30.
I'll put Gangstar up against anybody in that top 10.
Clips 30. Yeah, Boogie Down Productions
about right.
31.
That's about right for Clips.
That's about right for Boogie Down Productions.
I'd say Gangstar's top 20. I don't know, top 10.
Two Live Crew 32.
Maybe. Think about it. The Gangstar had a legit.
They did.
They had legit greatest hits album in 1999.
Now, this is a good one, and we're going to talk about this
young
man.
That full clip still goes hard.
Mm-hmm. Goody Mob 33. I could make a case that that's too low, or am I wrong? What y'all think?
I could see that because, you know what, they're 2 for 3.
Soul Food is one of my favorite albums ever made.
And Still Standing is a great record.
Yes.
I'd say definitely probably top 25.
Goody Mob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe higher. Yeah.
Brand Nubian 34.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Far Side 35.
Okay.
Hieroglyphics 36.
As soon as you said Far Side, I knew Hieroglyphics is going to follow. This is a liberal list.
A-Ball MJG 37.
Ooh.
I feel like this should be higher. Yeah, it's a little low. Yeah. 38 is the Big Timers.
They shouldn't be on the list.
They shouldn't be on the list. I love Manny Fresh. 50. They should not be on the list. Sorry. Hell no. Yeah, they should not be on the list. Slum Village 39.
That's somebody trying to be like to make it seem like they pay attention.
They really don't pay attention, though, do they?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Slum Village's work, too. And I would personally put them a lot higher, but
in the grand scheme of things,
probably don't.
I mean, if you're going to put them next to, and you're going to put them below the Big Timers, come on now.
That's stupid. Yeah. Onyx is 40.
If you're going to put them on the list, you're saying that the list is a certain way, so.
Yeah.
Onyx at 40.
Sorry, I was never a fan of Onyx like that.
I bought the tape.
I wasn't either.
Back to bought the tape.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the last days is one of my favorite hip hop songs of all time. But
shout out to Lil Brother at 41.
Oh, they made the list.
They made the list.
Wow, yeah. Somebody being cute didn't know.
Jay Moore don't think y'all really meant that.
They're just like, oh, if we don't put Lil Brother on here, they're gonna, yeah.
So all right,
because Lil Brother should be higher. 41, Lil Brother is slaughtering some of these groups.
Heavy D and the Boys, 42.
Disrespectful. Disrespectful.
Jay Moore, calm down, bro. Calm down, man. Mm. Let's see. 43 is Kid and Play. I think this is disrespectful.
I don't think Kid and Play should be on the list.
What?
You can not bringing the movies and all that into it.
You can sneak him in the 40s.
I got to hear what else is on.
Bruh, first of all, let's not act like Kid and Play don't have jams. That's still gold now.
They got jams, but you know, like, as far as like, and don't get
Impact,
me wrong,
cartoons, it's, movies.
I'm not talking about Impact. I'm talking about set their CDs on the table. Bro, set their CDs on the table.
Man, listen, the article does not say set their CDs on the table.
Well, that's what
bro.
I'm saying, and that's my criteria. And that's why I'm coming up with this.
Come on, man. You watch the Kid and Play cartoon.
I'm inclined to agree with Jay Moore.
Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. And the thing is, I like Kid and Play's first CD.
The Impact.
Getting Funky. Let's Do This Our Way. Last Night. Jams.
Funhouse?
Funhouse ain't on the first album.
But I'm talking about that's a jam.
It's a jam. But, like, honestly, them Kid and Play albums after the first one when it was doing movies.
And they was and they was bodying them James Brown break beats.
I'm just saying, cool. When you talk about, hey.
Don't do that.
Cut on that whole Funhouse second CD, cut on that whole CD. We're not doing it. No disrespect. The thing is,
Criss Cross should be higher.
Play.
How you know they not on the list?
They're probably next.
All right, man. They act like he ain't watched Class Act.
I watched it over and over.
Man, I watched that so many times.
I've seen that movie way more times than I should have.
It's because they always played it.
Yeah, at one point it came on HBO every day at like 3 o'clock.
Shouts
it was like
Popsicle.
A TV show.
Shout out to
Popsicle. Shout out to Pauly Shore, who just showed up in the rambling there.
Demita was cold.
Yeah.
And Hillary Banks was cold in there, too.
What else? Is there more
sorry.
On the list?
Criss Cross, 44. You
that's a damn
see,
shame.
See, I told you.
It's like, hey, let's put the two
novelty
hip-hop groups
not novelty.
Where it was a light-skinned dude and a dark-skinned dude, and they were both named Chris. Let's
now,
put them right next to each other.
This might be the most disrespectful that I've seen on here. 45 is Pete Rock and CeeLo Smooth.
I might as well just knock this goddamn table over.
That is where the credibility is really starting to be taken away. Is 45 it? For Pete Rock and CeeLo Smooth? Word.
You think they belong on the list?
Yeah. He trying to
if you're
going to
put
pressure,
the foot. Because first of all,
how many albums do they really have that we resonate with?
Two. But they're two
but
for
they're
two.
But they're phenomenal,
but they're
though.
They're two for two, unlike the Fugees.
Eh? He got a point there.
But as far as like their long, I mean, it was in a very specific period of time, you know, like
if you give me the main ingredient, Mech and the Soul Brother and all sold out the EP,
bruh,
and
okay.
You put them next to the Fugees albums, I'm definitely taking Pete Rock.
What you say is called J. Moore, set the CDs
set
on the table.
Set the CDs on the table.
I got to remember that, man.
I'm not mad at it, but
we got to do a segment called set the CDs on the table, man. Like that might have to be something we do, bro. That's funny.
Set the CDs on the table.
But we'd have to find some CDs.
Yeah, true. Pete Rock and CeeLo Smooth at 45, bro. Come on, man.
Behind Criss Cross.
Come on, man.
Behind Salt and Pepper.
Behind Kid and Play. And I love Kid and Play.
Yeah.
Behind Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Behind the Sugar Hill Gang.
The Sugar
I knew
Hill
y'all
Gang.
Was... All right, man. 46 is the Ying Yang Twins. They made it.
Okay.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, just
no emotion right. on that one. Let's see. 47.
They just had to put some new jacks on here.
That was Ray Shmurda. Okay.
Ray Shmurda and who?
It's just him. It's a group.
Ray Shremmer.
Ray Shremmer. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Those guys. The
I
Beatles
pronounced
guys.
It wrong. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I pronounced it wrong. I was thinking of Bobby Shmurda.
Yeah.
City Girls.
Get out of here.
Come on, Jay Moore. They got to do something for the list, bro. Come on,
like
man.
No, they had to be like,
this
okay,
list is terrible.
Salt and Pepper and the City Girls. They had to
the
put
credibility is being taken women, away yeah. as we go lower.
Put the CDs on the table.
Black Star, 49.
Oh, they didn't.
There
make
we
it.
Go, Lone. 49.
So
they're right in the City Girls.
Put CDs on the table. I'm still taking Black Star, and they've won Phantom CD over the City Girls.
Yo, MLP rounds it out.
Oh my!
Wow,
you gonna put the City Girls before MLP
and Black Star?
Wow.
So if we put the CDs on the table,
MLP's got records.
They got records. I agree.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Okay, so at the end of the day, I got burned again because I gave this list a lot of credit. It was top heavy. The top part was good.
You could really make, you know, I'm glad you started with the top 15. That was a good move.
Because we would have destroyed this list if we went bottom up. Yeah. This is bad. It gets bad after like 20.
The top 10-ish, you could interchange stuff in there.
At least the names weren't.
And swap a few around. Right. But it wasn't horrible.
At least the names were credible, right? In that area, 10, 15, the names were credible.
And however you want to move other than salt and pepper.
Yeah, I don't know salt and pepper, really. I mean, they're impactful, though. I will give you the impact.
They had impact. But, that's facts. But Ken play CL Smooth, P-Rock and CL Smooth being down here in these late 40s. I can't
Gangstar being...
Gangstar, 20s.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to vouch for y'all, man, but at the end of the day, it looks like I got duped again, man.
I
don't think it is. You got duped, but
I just got hyped because I
saw. No, I mean, because like, you know, there are parts of this list I really do think they got right, but then you look at some, they're like, oh yeah, I guess. Let's not forget P-Rock and CL Smooth.
Outkast is the greatest group of all time.
I agree,
in my opinion.
Mine too.
I don't think it's a conversation.
Honestly, because you know what? Now I think about it. If you use my standard, putting them CDs on the table.
If you put nobody Outkast, wants smoke with them.
Outkast beats Wu-Tang.
If we put the CDs on the table, nobody wants smoke with Outkast.
They don't.
Can we agree?
No, not at all.
Yeah, nobody wants
smoke. Wu-Tang has misses.
They do. As a group.
Yep.
Now, we want to do what Lone talked about with the narrative. Now, Wu-Tang's family tree is crazy. If you want to branch out.
Yeah, but Wu-Tang's family tree has a lot of L's. I know what he's going to say. Has a lot of L's.
Yeah. Shout out to Kill Army.
A lot more L's than Outkast's family.
Yo, Lone is, I love this guy. This is my brother, man. I've known him for years. He has consistently been on the head for B-minus level.
B-minus.
Wu-Tang affiliates.
B-minus.
Is that what we used to say? It was B-level affiliates.
Oh, B-level, because B-minus still, that's a, you know, I back in the day, I used to be happy to get a B-minus on the test.
Lone has consistently, since I've known him, talked about B-level Wu-Tang affiliates being trash. This is, I'm talking about going back to when we were coming out of probably 2000? High school when I was in college. Yeah, like, he's been on the head. He's been on their head ever since then. Yeah, early 2000s.
I remember getting that first,
putting your cousin on.
Law
on
the Dark Man.
Hey, The Swarm Volume 1 was fire, though.
Law of the Dark Man's one of the better ones.
Oh, true. Yeah, because like, I remember that first piece of vinyl I saw from him. He had a record with Raekwon. I was like, oh, yeah, with some more Wu-Tang.
You ever see the interview with You Got, where he talks about how he's mad because RZA was giving all these beats to all these trash groups. Have you ever seen that interview, man? Yeah. It's hilarious, bruh. He's like, RZA was out here working with all these groups and giving all these beats away to all these trash groups. I know exactly who he's talking about.
Yeah, we all do.
We know.
We all know.
We know exactly who he's talking about.
We
know who
they are. We don't need to say their names.
Affiliates.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Yep. It's a lot of really...
Hey, that Wu Syndicate album was fire, though. I don't care what y'all say.
Was it?
Yeah.
When was that?
I was the Wu-Tang fan. We were both. Wu-Tang fan.
Like, Wu Syndicate asked me.
Kill Army.
Yeah.
Tape. And I was like, oh, it's a Wu-Tang tape nobody know about.
To their credit, though, with the Wu-Tang, with the affiliates, back then, I was such a Wu head. If I saw the W, was like, man, I'm about to go cop.
Yep. Because I gotta find
Ghost might pop
next.
Up. Yeah, Ray exactly. might pop
yep.
up.
Yep.
So they had me. I bought
Looking
so
for the
many
features.
I bought so many trash Wu-Tang affiliate albums, hoping that I was gonna get a new RZA verse or a new RZA beat. Yep. They had me. So
yeah, no, me too. But that's another reason why I speak on it, because it's part of my life and
I waste a lot of time.
A lot of that stuff. Well, I mean, a lot of that stuff was downloaded at that point. Once it got to the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s.
That's time wasted. You waste a lot of time.
Not for sure.
Waiting on.
Yeah, I can't put Wu-Tang above Outkast. Can't do that.
I love
Wu-Tang. To me, it's not even like, it's like...
Not even...
It's like, you know, that's undeniable, like, top...
Wu-Tang, you know. Wu-Tang is a group where I'm like, okay, if you want to, we can at least have the conversation and talk about it a little bit. It's respectable. But at the end of the day, it's still not...
No, it's...
You put the CDs on the table,
it's
man.
Outkast.
It's Outkast, bro.
It's mm-hmm. nice, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I put Outkast. I mean, you know, the only people who I really could compete?
Tribe.
Tribe and Gangstar.
Tribe for sure.
I'm not sold on Gangstar like that. In that aspect. I do like Gangstar. I bought the albums. Yeah. Like, I, you know, back then. But
I think Tribe is closer to... if you want to sit, the CDs down. Mm-hmm. That's a good candidate to put them on the table.
Tribe is closer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
no, I would give it to Tribe. Yeah, Tribe.
I mean, and I like Gangstar. Don't get me wrong, but you know,
I still run. Full Clip.
Run the Jewels isn't on there. Interesting.
Run the Jewels
isn't on there. City Girls is on there.
Yeah, take City Girls off there right now and put Run the Jewels in.
That's just more credibility loss on this list. Run the Jewels has to be on there.
Run the Jewels. Take Crisscross off. Put on Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels is probably top 30.
Top 30-ish?
Ish.
Yeah.
35-ish. I mean, you could make the argument to be higher and lower.
They are very consistent. But they all the way through, they're very
consistent. Four solid albums. Mm-hmm. Some of them I like more than the others, but they're all solid.
You know, we love Killer Mike, man. He was like, man, we dropped four classics. I was like, I don't know about four classics.
Four great albums.
Four good projects.
Four good projects, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know about four classics, though.
Yeah.
Either way, man, Billboard.
We
tried, man, but...
As soon as I saw the list come out, somebody was like, what do you think of the list? And my tweet was literally, Billboard should not make hip-hop lists. I didn't even read it.
Didn't even look at it.
They've let us down so many times.
Stop.
Let's do something for the ladies. Let's do something for the West Coast. Let's do something for the South. And don't get me wrong. Some of it is right. Yeah. Some of it is right.
Somebody in that office...
when I see Salt and Pepper in the top 10, no.
Somebody in that office was like,
when I see
okay,
the City Girls...
let's make sure we put Lil Brother in here just to make sure we pacify these people. Let's make sure we throw...
Hieroglyphics.
Yeah, we got to make sure we put
right
them in
to
there.
Right next to Far Side, like, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Because even when, like...
Lone predicted it twice.
When you
put who was
CDs
be next.
On the table... What,
yeah. No. If you put Lil Brother CDs on the table, they got some small...
higher.
You put,
higher.
They should, yeah. They
Lil
really,
Brother is definitely higher.
Yeah, they're definitely higher.
They got some dope projects.
Especially after Let the Lord Watch. They solidified.
Exactly.
May the Lord watch.
Or may the Lord watch.
Yeah.
Same thing. But
good catch.
The Lord out here watching.
But they got that. But
the Lord watched this list and was like, nah.
Lil Brother has like six albums, though.
They do.
I mean, think of the two with Ninth, and then they have the Get in the Left, and then they, well, I guess five, right?
Yeah. Five, and then,
and
they,
then
have
they have the Chitlin' Circuit, and they have, you know.
Put them on the table.
I mean...
put them on the table.
I think they could probably be top 15, maybe top 10.
Honestly, yeah, you could make a case for them.
Their first, especially coming off the first two albums,
mm-hmm.
those first two albums out the gate solidify them as being on this list.
I mean, if we're talking about, oh, the Fugees had two albums. Yeah. Oh, NWA had two albums.
If you use
that, Brother had five albums.
If you use that
Tribe
argument.
Tribe had five albums, you know, like, or six.
I can't refute that if that's the route. I can't.
You know, Outkast, you know, it's like, consistent quality material over a large period of time should factor into this as well.
I think Outkast,
which is why Gangstar belongs in there as well.
Outkast, their level of product all the way across is higher than anybody else's. Like, there's no, the dips mm-hmm. in other people's mm-hmm. catalog are way lower. Yeah. Outkast leveled off.
Yeah.
All the way through. I don't see a significant dip.
Idlewild,
Playalistic, even
Idlewild, I even had Idlewild divorce.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's no joints on there.
It's
records.
Joints on there. Mighty O,
they had
records on there,
yeah,
bro.
For sure.
So there's no significant drop off in
is,
their product.
That, but that's my point. That is the Outkast significant drop off is Idlewild.
Is Idlewild okay?
Yeah,
which is still a good album.
Thank you was fire. Yeah, like they got heat. Even the double album was fire.
Yeah.
And it sold 10 million.
So, I mean, styles. I can talk about the people who need to get off this list completely. I'll say Salt and Pepper can stay on. They got to be back up in the 40s. I'll say City Girls got to go.
Yep.
They're not top 50 group.
You just trying to get 150.
That's
go.
Fine.
They 150
go.
Comment
they
package.
Go.
I'll be honestly, this is going to hurt.
It's some. Actually disrespectful that they're on this list.
I agree.
I'm a Crisscross. Sorry, y'all got to go too.
I'm going to keep Crisscross. I'm going to get rid of the City Girls. I
got
to keep.
I know. I already got rid of the City Girls. They both gone. City Girls, Crisscross, get out of here.
But who else? But the only groups that who they miss right now that we know of, Run the Jewels, and who else?
They miss Run the Jewels.
I'd put Jungle Brothers in there over City Girls.
I fool with the Jungle Brothers. Yeah, over the City Girls.
Yeah, over the City Girls. I can see that.
I'd put Jungle Brothers in there over Crisscross.
Fair enough.
I would get honestly.
Stop
I'd,
trying to play Crisscross, man.
I said what I said.
But they had like two albums though, right? Two or three that were pretty decent.
And they got joints.
They got two in an EP.
So
the Grown album, the album when they was grown, To Live or Die for Hip Hop, that has some heat on there. There's a couple joints on there.
Young, Rich, and Dangerous. I'm not going to say. I enjoy that. They had joints on there.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm talking about when you talk about put the CDs on the table.
You know, you got to turn that into something, man. Put the CDs on the table.
You know what else? Who else we could probably put on there is Blue in Exile.
Yes.
Ooh.
Because they have a certified classic. And then they have
Below the Heavens is amazing.
They have one other full project that is actually good.
Miles. I mean, not Miles.
No, it's like Give Me the Flowers. I think it's
Give Me Your Flowers Before You Can
Smell Them or something. And then they might even have another one. But
I think it's.
But they have at least two really good solid ones.
That first one is.
Yeah. But yeah. That's still only a couple projects. But I still think that belongs above like a City Girls.
Oh, no question.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I put Bush Babies on there before I put the City Girls.
Yeah, it's called Miles from an interlude called Life. That came after Give Me My Flowers.
You know what I would do? Where's Reflection Eternal?
First album was fire.
You put the
first
CD. Album the fire. Second album, you know, was good.
It was good.
Talib Chikwi?
Don't do that.
Yes. You put the CDs on the table. I'm getting City Girls, Crisscross. I'm getting Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five out of here.
Now that's I wish I had a buzzer for every time you do 150 comic quote.
And you know what? We love Rappers Delight, but I'm getting the Sugar Hill.
Just go for 500 comments then. You already cashed in 150, 300. Just go for five.
Who cares about the comments? Nobody cares about the comments.
We are not industry.
No, we're not.
We are not. We for the culture. You're right.
I can't.
Oh, you know what? Else I get out of here?
We talk about hieroglyphics
as a group out of here.
No, I'm kind of with you. Like Souls of Mischief in general.
Once again,
maybe they should be.
We're not doing families. Yeah. We're doing a group. We're doing group projects. Okay. Hyro Imperium.
They got records. But yeah, I agree.
Where's Dilated Peoples? Let's put Dilated Peoples on again. Yep. And play somebody.
Dilated Peoples belong. Yep.
I forgot about Dilated Peoples.
Yep, they belong.
Good point. Yep. That's a good point. Dang, man. They did leave.
They left Smiles and Style Star off the group.
Now I know it's time for us to pivot and go on to something else. All right. Because you're going to get me started. Lord Tariq and Peter Guns.
Where's
York,
Quo?
Yeah, New York wasn't that good, brother.
Where's the ghetto mafia?
Oh yeah, let's do constructive criticism from the elders.
Let's go.
Let's do that. So Ice-T and KRS-One. Now on people.com it says they blast the current state of hip hop. I don't look at this as a blast. Mm-hmm. I look at this as constructive criticism from the OGs. Right? The comments that jumped out to me were more from Ice-T versus KRS-One. So this is an interview where they're talking about the anniversary of the 50th anniversary of hip hop. And obviously the state of hip hop is going to come up, right, in the conversation at some point. I'm going to read a couple comments from the homie Ice-T. We know we have a huge Ice-T fan on the show.
Yeah, you do.
Check this out and let me know if you guys are bonus. check this out and let me know if you guys agree with constructive criticism versus old people get off my lawn. All right. Mm-hmm. So Ice-T says, I think people from my generation are really upset with what's going on with the youngsters because every week somebody's going to jail. People are dying off drugs and killing each other. And he goes on to say, in my generation, we lost Tupac, we lost Biggie, and we got the memo. Everybody calm down. We all figured this out. We were rapping to get out of the streets. He continued to say, but the youngsters who are out here behaving like that, these kids are millionaires. So I don't know how many young people got to get lost. I don't know which one might trigger that message, but I think it's time for the generation to get a hold of itself. I don't take that as pointing the finger and this, and we were better than y'all. I take that as a fair assessment and constructive criticism. To that, you guys say what?
I have no problem with this just because also... Once again, I'm the oldest of the new old heads.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not ashamed to say my age. I'm 46. And I've said this multiple times. I want to impart wisdom and give game to these young people in the best way that I can. I don't want to point my finger at them because these are my children.
Right.
Okay. But he's right. You know, every time when I see And a lot of times I don't know who they are when I, you know, I get alerts from the hip hop websites or from whatever. And it's like so-and-so rapper shot five times. I don't know who they are because, you know, I'm probably just out of the demographic. You know what I'm saying? Just like when I listened to Uzi's new album, I got to like maybe three or four records and I was like, yeah, I'm checked out of this. This is not me.
I know some, I'll be honest. I know some of the artists because I have family members that are younger that I'll have conversations with, and they'll, and it's like a running joke at this point. It's like, oh, you old Mike, you don't know about XYZ, and they know the names of all these people.
Right.
So through conversations, sometimes I'll know, you know, like I hadn't listened to, I can't cap and say that I listened to a lot of PNB Rock's music, but I knew of him.
Yeah. And my whole thing is like, look, man, we've seen what it is when people make the wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And when we try to impart some kind of wisdom and say, hey, young man, slow down, we're not hating. We see what the end result of this is.
That's how it took
And
this.
We want better for you. See, the thing is, like, you know, at one point, I think maybe there was an overabundance of older rappers or older hip hop fans that were hating on young because we didn't understand the tight clothes
right.
and eye makeup and wearing choker chains and like when I don't get it,
right?
You know, but just because I don't get it doesn't mean I don't want the best for them. You know, even when we talked about the industry plant,
which one?
Well played.
Yes,
the loan is over here.
Sexy Red.
Yeah, Sexy Red. I really want. I want good things for that young lady. I don't want her to take her moment, spend all her money, and then be used up and kicked to the curb.
I agree,
because that's what this game does. You know, I don't want her to be like to sell her dignity for attention. And like I said, 50 pieces of silver and then be cast aside. And we talk about in 2 years. Oh, remember Sexy Red?
True.
You know, I want the best for these young people, you know, but if a little bit of criticism has to come with it, then that's just what it has to be, because older people, that's what we're supposed to do.
Sometimes we miss it when we're younger. You know what I'm saying?
But we always miss it when we're younger because we're in
nine times out of 10, we're going to miss it when we're younger.
It's just like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Bronx Tale, and Sonny was trying to tell C to slow down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't get in that car. Do this. Don't do that, C. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like, why would you tell me to slow down and stop having fun? And I'm with my friends and I'm getting money and this, that, and the third. We want you to get your money. We want you to enjoy yourself, but we want you to enjoy yourself for a long time.
I think, too, we live in a very, very much, and we've touched on this on the show, and I don't know how this correlates to our generation and before, but we live in a very much an instant gratification culture.
You're talking about luck. You're talking about being very fortunate to be able to make hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions. A lot of these people are being they're very successful in what I would call like the demo phase, right? Mm-hmm. And you are lucky and you are fortunate to be able to be in the spotlight as you learn. Because a lot of people, the attention to quality and stuff to me has dropped down on the mainstream so low as to the point now where this is looked at as quality because it's popular. Like, long as it's there, this is the standard.
Right.
That's the way I see it. Like, that's just how it's perceived to me. Well, she made it, so this must be the standard, right?
Yeah, she got to the BET Awards.
She got there, so this must be the standard.
Right.
Lone's point, as it relates to being a creative and somebody that's been around, and we all are, in different forms, you can see the difference, right? So we're going to watch it different. We're going to hear it different. We see that. But I don't think you're too off when you say lucky. I think lucky.
I don't think I'm off at all.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you didn't think.
I agree with you, is what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, I don't want it to come across as like, to Jay's point, like, you know, these people are like kids. I feel like this goes across to every industry. Imagine, let's take this out of the realm of music just really quickly.
Okay.
Imagine you get out of college and it's just like I was an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
You go to work for a company as an engineer. I was a junior engineer. But imagine if they had me up there as the senior engineer and I'm projecting projects that actually affect people's lives and everything, and I'm building bridges and I don't know what I'm doing. You're going to get critiqued and you're going to get ramifications for that. There's no equivalent to that in the music industry except just more popularity.
We talked about, this a few episodes back in some form or something. It's like the Twitter account.
False exports.
Yes. And then ESPN started referencing that. Somebody referenced that. It's the exact same thing. These people are, they're here, right? It's just like the music. All these demo phase records that are getting popular online, they're right there with Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. And right. We're using Shorty as an example. She's right there.
Yeah, and she shouldn't be. Like, she's on nowhere on the same level.
It's not even close.
She has not put in like, the amount of work. And it's not, like I said, we're not.
It's not hating that she's.
We're not hating.
This is, we're analyzing.
But I've seen what I've seen. 20 plus years in radio and records, working in clubs.
Right.
Doing journalism. I was like, I just don't want her to be used quickly and thrown away.
There are artists in Indianapolis that I see doing the same exact thing, trying the same exact thing all the time.
I think we're thinking the same people.
We are.
Oh, for yeah. sure.
We are.
For sure.
And it's just like, I see it, and it's like, if it works, cool for you. Are you in music for the music and the culture, and you want to make money off of the thing that you're doing, or are you just using music as a means to an end?
There's a lot of people we can point out. You can go find an artist right now and just say, yeah, this dude is just really rapping to get cheese. Like, you can, the music is going to speak for itself. We can see it. You know, the average consumer may not be able to. There's no shot to the consumer. My ears are different. Yours are different. Yours are different. You can see when it's literally about, I'm just trying to get to this paper.
No, hey, we talk about moment music.
Yeah, get your money if that's what you are, but don't get mad when you get critiqued. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we bring up certain aspects of your game and the flaws because I just don't see it that way.
But that's just part of it. You know, like I've run into this in the comments section sometimes when people comment on our stuff that aren't really a part of anything that we're talking about. Like we are a hip hop podcast. We talk about the different things that happen in hip hop culture. If some, for example, again, if we talk about Eminem and we talk about how he's not making jams, but your argument is, well, he's selling records, you're not talking about, you don't belong in our conversation.
You missed it. All right, man. Let's see. Coming up on three. Is there anything else that I forgot? Anything else you gentlemen want to say?
No.
Random show, I guess.
No. Thanks. We didn't expect. I mean, three new chatters today is pretty cool.
Yeah, shout out to y'all, man.
It's probably because of when we're doing it.
When we're doing it, yeah.
You know, I mean, we typically do record the show in a time that is not ideal for most people. Nine to 11 p.m. is not a good time to record a show.
So I'm thinking Tony Stanzas and the Gravedigger probably, they have plates in their hand right now, but they was like, let me rock with these guys while I'm taking care of my plate. Might have a cool drink in your hand. So either way, we appreciate you all for stopping through. Ronnie Darko, I see you. Mighty J Young, as always. Gobernator, my man Adrian Taylor, appreciate you for stopping by. Smooth Hoosier for a minute in the beginning. I know where he at.
Mighty J Young. Yep.
Yeah, Mighty J Young. Yep. So we appreciate all the support for you guys rocking with us today. NewOldHeads.com for all the education that you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, and check out our Patreon as well. But we'll see y'all next week. Appreciate the support as always. Peace.